Yeah, we know what you're thinking. You're saying, wait a second, wait, the season's over. Breaking news. The season is not over. It's frickin' snowing outside. It's basketball season. Hey, everybody. Hello and welcome in. It is Three Guys Before the Game. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks so much for seriously sticking with us now that basketball season is over. As we said on our last program, we were going to continue to do these programs for you because we love you, because we feel the show must continue even though there are no games to be played. But there's always another game, right? For West Virginia, it just happens to be this coming November in basketball and this coming September in football. And we're going to keep moving on once every couple of weeks here. We try to do once every 2 weeks during the offseason. Thanks for being with us. That is Nathan Adrian. He used to play basketball at the college here in town. And that's the senator over there. He used to play basketball in Iowa. 6-on-6. And all you had to do was bring the ball back to half court. And he was all state. Pretty good player. Hi, guys.
Well, hello, Tony.
How are we? Uncle Nate, good to see you, huh?
It's been a while.
Just to get back together. I mean, since the last time we got together, Villanova has won the national championship in basketball. Obviously, it will always have a West Virginia flavor to it since the Mountaineers met them in the NCAA tournament in Boston and ended the season against them. And when you look back at it, you could certainly start to make the case that West Virginia gave Villanova its best challenge of the entire tournament. The Mountaineers were up by a half a dozen before falling to the eventual national champs, and they did an amazing job. I mean, Villanova did an absolutely amazing job in that game. So we'll look back today on the final stats. All like an election, all precincts have now been reported. The votes have been canvassed and certified, and we'll give you some numbers as to where WVU finished nationally, where that needs to change in the coming season, and some other thoughts. We got four new players at a minimum that are coming into this Mountaineer basketball team this season. Who knows? There could be more. It would not be a stunner. It would not be a surprise if there are at least one more name added, because that just kind of is what it is. And the way things are going, not this coming season, but the year after, there's a very strong probability that we could have, you know, the NFL has like free agency, like when it gets hot, right? I mean, with the transfer rule that's being proposed right now, you could have kids transferring out without having to sit out, which would open up an entire interesting world of potential transfers. And we discussed that in detail last week on the CityNet statewide sports line, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But first off, guys, let's jump in to two Mountaineers who are testing the NBA draft waters, not taking the full plunge, not walking to the diving board and just going like, cannonball, I'm in, but instead walking to the wading pool and sticking their toe in and just kind of smashing the water around, getting their toes wet to see what it is. Sagabaugh Konate and Issa Amat. Sagabaugh's news that he was going to go and apply himself without an agent was a big deal. Issa's, for whatever reason, that kind of went real quiet. I don't think it got the pub at all. Do you?
Locally or nationally or anywhere?
Yeah.
No, it didn't because he had such an up and down year. So I think the conventional wisdom is, okay, you're doing that, but is Issa Amat really going to turn pro? Is he really have an opportunity to go hook on with an NBA team? I think the Konate one's a little more interesting because you would think this is simply the Javon Carter model where you go test it, get some exposure, go work out for some of these teams, continue to push your name out there, and then return and build on what you've started this year. But Konate, you start to look around a little bit, and you think, I'll tell you what, that guy had a heck of a season now.
Oh, don't say
that
it.
That guy had a heck of a season now.
Oh, don't say it.
Well, I don't think he is.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he is, but what happens if he goes out in these workouts
Ooh.
And is through the roof and comes off as even more athletic than you know he is and comes off a little more skilled than we already know that he is, but maybe the scouts don't? I don't think he's going anywhere, but
okay.
I think you look at him and he has such a big upside there that I think he really stands to benefit from this offseason of exposing himself to NFL scouts.
Or NBA.
Or NBA.
What'd I say?
I don't think NFL. He's looking
at the NFL. Don't discount the tight end possibility for Sags Kanate. Yeah, you're right, NBA.
So what do you think, Nate?
I think they're doing a smart thing. They're going to go out there and they're going to get a couple workouts with teams like Javon did. I think Javon benefited more last offseason by working with these NBA players, and he got a chance to play with the best point guards and guards in the country. And I think that really improved his game. So I'm hoping they go out and do the same thing and come back with an idea of what they need to improve on and improve on it and have better seasons next year, and then they can do whatever they need to do.
So collectively, we would all be surprised if Sags leaves. And I think a best-case scenario would be that his stock is elevated, his brand is elevated, and so after he goes through, in a perfect world, what you're saying is, hey, this Sagabaugh Kanate at WVU, he's got the chance to be a first-round player next year, and he really impressed NBA scouts. They say he needs to tweak this, but he'll go into the season with a lot of fanfare.
I think there's a couple things with him, and I think the biggest question with him isn't skill set even. I think that's a given, what you've seen out of him. I think the question is just going to be, what position is he in the NBA? That's the big question with him, given his height and given what he does defensively. I mean, he's not a five at the NBA level, is he?
No.
Right? So that's the question is, all right, where does he fit? And I think that's what you'll start to learn over this workout situation. I talked to somebody in an NBA front office that talked about Carter's offseason last year and then coming back this season and adding to that, that he worked himself from a guy that would not have been drafted had he came out last year to somebody that should probably get a chance from somebody this year in terms of a draft, and a lot of that was because of heart and the intangibles, but a lot of it was because what scouts saw last year, then he came out and produced on the basketball court, so that it's a known quantity, and if you're going to gamble on somebody, you say, okay, let's bring Carter into a camp here and just see how he does matched up against some of these guys that are already on a roster.
All right, Issa Ahmad, as I said, he also put his name in. What do you think comes out of that?
I think that he's going to learn a lot. I think he's going to go start to work out with these NBA teams and kind of get a reality check. He came out of high school highly recruited. He was always told he'd be a three-year player and then get drafted. I think he just has that set in his mind. So I'm hoping he gets out there and figures out he has a lot more to work on and comes back and he does it. They don't have a chance, but we'll see what he takes out of it.
Do you think there's more of a chance that he doesn't come back than Sags?
Yes.
So it may not be the NBA. It could just be off to Europe.
Could be a Devin Williams.
Could be a Devin Williams, possibly.
But I doubt it. I don't think it will be.
You think he stays?
Yeah.
He's a really interesting one to watch. Because how long have we been saying when you look at him, he's got the NBA. He's an NBA 3, right? Now, he's got to come a long way in terms of production and effort and consistency. There's no question. But the stuff you can't teach, he's got in him. He's got the body. He's got the look. Can he defensively be quick enough to match up with somebody at that level? But it's in there. I mean, we've seen those moments. So does this kind of jumpstart him and prod him a little bit when he gets in this mix and gets some feedback? Can he come back next year and have a breakout season? That's what you're hoping.
What I'm hoping is, I mean, the one word, it's consistency. If he does come back, can you consistently pencil numbers in for him every game? So he'll be, right, a senior. Can you say, lineup, he's going to give you 13 to 15 points and 5 rebounds? Can I put that in on the sheet? Because it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. That's the determining story on him. They need him badly next year to be.
I thought you undershot his rebounds there. You'd take 5 rebounds a game from Ahmad next year?
Every game?
I was going to say 9. I was going to say, give me 7 to 9.
9?
Yeah. Huggins called in the best rebounder from a 3 in the league. Give me a 7 to 9.
9 rebounds.
That's a lot of rebounds.
That's a lot of rebounds.
Well, somebody's got a rebound. There's a lot of rebounds out there when you're West Virginia. We're going to go through stats here in a minute. Somebody's got to get rebounds. Now, Kanate's going to get a ton. Somebody's got a rebound.
Well, he only averaged 7.
I mean, Mo Bamba averaged 10.5.
Okay.
I mean, you want my guy to get 9.
I said 7 to 9. I'll take 7.
I mean, I'm just like.
But you're talking about an NBA guy here. Are we talking about NBA or are we not?
No, if you're NBA, it should be 7.
Well, we're talking about Issa Ahmad going to the NBA. You don't give me 5 if you're 13 and 5 is not an NBA guy.
No.
No.
Okay.
8. 8 would be an NBA guy.
Okay, so that's close to my 9. That's right in the 7 to 9 range
I'm putting it in the context of what we've seen from him in the past. I told you I'd be happy if you could say, give me 15 and 5. I'd be happy with 15 and 5.
You said 13.
Whatever, 13, 14, I said 15, 15, whatever it takes. All right, so we'll see what happens there. You both think they'll both be back?
Yes.
I'd be stunned if they're not back.
Okay, so let's move ahead to further action. Here come at least four more players into the fold. Trey Dooms, Jordan McCabe, Derek Culver, Andrew Gordon. That's at least four. So, young Nate, you came in as a little baby, like a little, you were like a little, like a doe. Like you were like one of those little baby deers. Mm-hmm. You came in, you're like, you didn't weigh much. How much?
190.
190. And you left at what?
240.
240. So you gained 50 over the course of your Mountaineer career. And you know, when you stepped onto that floor as a freshman, you went like, whoa, this is a little bit different. Now, some of these guys obviously played better competition than you did. I'm not taking a shot at you. I'm just saying they played at a high level, right? Trey Dooms played in the championship game of the high school national championship. So he played high-level competition. And same deal with McCabe, right? He played at the highest level, won the state championship in Wisconsin. Gordon, JC, Culver prepped. Realistically, let's do some numerology here. What are you smiling about over there, Skippy?
This is fun. I love doing this. Go. This is always fun.
You know, your roommate, by the way, your roommate, James Long, uh-huh. I always give him these two, and he always just goes, that's all you ever do. And I always put these scenarios. All right, give me so-and-so next year. Can he get you X and X? Mm-hmm. So having watched McCabe, what are realistic numbers?
It depends on who steps up as a point guard. If he's the only one who steps up as a point guard, he could – realistically come in and give you 8 points and 4 assists a game. I don't see a problem with that.
So you're talking about 125, 130 assists during the course of a season.
I can see that.
Okay. But again, obviously he'll be sharing time.
Again, it all depends on what Brandon Knapper and Beetle Bolden do.
When you watch him play, style-wise, how's that translate to what you think he'll be facing here? Because I haven't seen, let me ask you this. I haven't seen anyone with as good of a handle as he has. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a fact. I mean, he's got some of the best handles I've ever seen, even playing with college players. So I think that's what separates him from other people with his size, is that he has the ability to create space and create the angles he needs to get his shot off or make a pass. So it'll go a long way for him.
So what do you think? A year from, like, during the course of the season, are people, like, saying, whoa, look what they got here? Or is it just kind of he's a freshman?
I think everybody needs to give him a chance. You can't expect too much from him. As a freshman coming in at his size, he's going to have to learn how to play against larger and stronger opponents. But I think he'll get used to it eventually and he'll produce. But I think you definitely can't come in with too high of expectations for him or else it'll hurt him.
It seems as though they're in a pretty good place there as a program in both he and Knapper. So you don't have to have just like there's only one shot. It's got to be this guy. And if this guy doesn't get it done, then you're probably – it looks like that's going to be a nice point guard by committee.
And that's what you hope for.
I would think it is.
Yeah.
I would think it is, right? Because even though Knapper didn't play last year, he practiced with the team, was running the deal at the end of the season in practice. And so it looks at though, at least on paper, you can be all right there.
You want to do some comparisons?
Well, sure.
Because you're losing a Javon Carter, right? One of the best – players we've seen come through this program, but he wasn't that type of player his freshman year. Fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So Javon Carter, his freshman season, gave you 35 games played, averaged nearly 24 minutes a game. That's some heavy minutes there for a Frosh. Averaged 8.1 points a game, 2.3 rebounds per game, just under 2 assists per game, and almost right at 2 steals per game. That's actually a pretty good freshman line. I wouldn't have guessed that high in minutes played or points just going off memory. That's a pretty good freshman season. If you get anywhere close to that, if you're Jordan McCabe, you've got to be just totally thrilled if you're Bob Huggins.
Absolutely, and those minutes are elevated because of Gary Brown, Juwan getting hurt at the end of the year. They didn't play like the last 8 games, so he played really heavy minutes there at the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Nate, because I think a lot of people may have forgot that those two guys toward the end, both he and Dax, kind of went, they got pushed into the situation and they responded well to mm-hmm. it. Okay, so that's that part of it. Trey Dooms, Senator, realistically.
See, I dial down expectations for all of these guys just because it's so hard. Rarely here do you see a freshman come in, a true freshman, and give you double-digit points per game.
What was Dax?
That's what I'm pulling up right now.
Okay. Literally, so Dax is a freshman, because when I watch Dooms play recently, just style-wise, you could see that kind of play.
Similar numbers from a scoring standpoint to Carter. He gave you 7.3 points per game, coming in 21 minutes per game. 2 rebounds per game, less than an assist per game, and just right at 1 steal per game.
And shot 9% from the foul line.
Maybe.
What do you think? Give me a real guess.
44.
52.
Oh, you're way low. 52.8.
52. And then he was fantastic this year. Shot high into the 70s.
So, 74.
Yeah, 74. So good for
him. So I dialed down expectations. I think if you're somewhere, and again, you're trying to do it by committee. So if both McCabe and Dooms come in and give you 5 points per game, I think you got to be happy with that. Because you're going to be playing some guys that are younger. Beadle Bolden's the one, in my opinion, from the backcourt that has to step up and give you a lot more. That's where your scoring in the backcourt has to come from, in my opinion.
And we can take him off the ball, right? He doesn't have to be. He played backup, obviously, this year at the point. He can get away from that and play that two spot. Okay, realistically, as a former big man, Nathan, what should expectations be for the two bigs that are coming in?
Again, I think you have to... I'm with him. You got to dial it down. Sags is going to have to play 40 minutes a game or close to it next year for us to be successful. That four spots one is going to be wide open between Issa, Lamont, Wes, and the two guys coming in. You're going to have to get 40 minutes out of some of them, but I don't know. I really don't know. It's hard to tell. With big men, you can't tell until they get here.
So just serviceable minutes.
Serviceable minutes will be fine with.
Give me a guess on Wes Harris's numbers without looking this year. Points and rebounds and minutes played. Wes Harris.
4.5 points. 3.5 rebounds.
I don't think he had 3 rebounds.
19 minutes.
I say he had 2 rebounds.
Nate Adrian, all over that. 5 points a game, so you were close. 3.6 rebounds per game.
Did he get
on
36?
It. And 20.6 minutes per game.
Yeah.
So I'm there again. I think if you can get that out of those new guys and you're doing it by committee and they're all playing, that's what you get. That's why I just think, I mean, Kanate, Ahmad, and Bolden to me are three guys. That's where your elevation has to come from. Those are the guys that have to step in and be the leaders if you're going to make another Sweet 16 run.
We had Hugs on last week, and he brought up that Lamont West is going to have surgery to repair his wrist. Yeah, look at me. So he pulled the old Nate Adrian. I'm not telling anyone that I'm hurt. Oh, let's do a little post surgery here. Oh, guess what? There's 3 milk duds in your wrist. Right? You had a cyst. Didn't tell anybody. What's up with you guys? You don't tell people when you're hurt?
Nope. Day one, I was told if I wasn't practicing, I wasn't playing. From there on, I never told anybody when I was hurt.
That was it, huh?
That was it.
No practice, no play. Okay. All right, that's totally fine.
I'm proud of Lamont for doing it.
Is that right?
I didn't think he'd have it in him.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it helps him out in the fact that he couldn't make a shot toward the end.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
See, he gave you almost 10 points per game last year, 9.4. So he's another guy. Can he bump to 12? Can he give you 12 per game?
Yeah.
That's reasonable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He and Harris, there's no question those are going to be guys that'll search around here. All right. So at the end of it all, as we look ahead, as we look back to this season, did this team squeeze what it had in it out, or did they leave any drops of moisture in the sponge?
Depends on when he asked. If you would have asked me at the beginning of the year after we lost to Purdue by 25 and then A&M by 25, I would have been happy with the NCAA appearance. But then if you would have asked me after we blew multiple 15-point leads in second half, then no, because we could have been a 28-29 win team realistically. So it really depends.
Boy, that's a great question, isn't it? I think you have to say they left some out there. I think they got a lot out of what this roster had. I mean, 26 wins, another tournament title appearance, a Sweet 16 run. I mean, all those things are fantastic. That, at the end of the day, is a really good season. It's just hard to get past when you saw them with the leads in some of the games they had, that they didn't squeeze just a couple of more wins out of there and really applied some serious pressure for that Big 12 regular season title. So I think you were pretty close to getting everything out of there you could. And if those had just been losses to some of those teams without having a big lead, I probably would have said, I think they got everything out of there they could. The fact they showed you they could get up big on some of those teams, that's where I just have a little bit of a, oh, you left some out there.
Yeah, I hear you. I get you. Transfer rule, Nate. Potentially in 2020, guys could just say, see ya, don't want to be ya, I'm out. As a former player, like, dislike?
I think it's an awful plan. The number of people we're transferring already is astronomical, and that's not how it should be, so I wouldn't like it.
What do you think? I'm okay. as a former athletics administrator.
I'll answer this as a non-former athletic administrator. I'm all for it. I think if you're going to leave, you should have a chance to go where you want to go without penalty. Go ahead and go. And it may create some wild, wild west, and we may sit here next year and say, oh my gosh, what has this created? But at the same time, and again, I wouldn't have said that as an athletic administrator, and I certainly wouldn't say that as a coach. Their jobs will get significantly harder if this rule passes. But from a player well-being standpoint, okay, have at it. And remember, I think we always we default to looking at this like, oh my gosh, what could West Virginia lose? But what could West Virginia gain as well? I mean, there's guys that are going to be coming into the program as well. We spent some time on Sportsline talking about that the other night, the great players that have come in and transferred in and West Virginia's benefited from. So I don't think it's all gloom and doom if you're outside looking in. If you're internal, I can see where this scares the heck out of you.
Yeah. But as we did a check, we being collectively West Virginia has seemed to benefit more from players that have come in on transfer rather than players who have gone out. There has been less pain for players that have left the program, and we've picked up a couple of good ones. So yeah, it's something that's going to keep going. And heck, maybe by the next time we get together, the Supreme Court will have made its ruling regarding gambling, which again continues to make my head spin around like the girl on The Exorcist. I mean, I just cannot believe we're at this point, and yet the momentum that this is going to happen is not a snowball, it's a slow roll. I mean, now it's just become a boulder, which is coming straight down. Basically, the professional leagues are kind of going like, yeah, it's happening, it's going to happen, it's over with. And I think that will make things just also just bizarrely crazy.
Certainly feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, I think at this point it will be a surprise. It will feel like a surprise.
Stunner.
If the Supreme Court comes back and says, no, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Right? At this point, you're just like, all right, just stamp the thing. When are we going?
I mean,
what's
like,
next?
I mean, like you, as a former player, Nate, I mean, a year from now, I mean, you could have, you know, maybe slicked back hair. You maybe could be wearing a gold chain, right? Leather vest. And you could be like doing prop bets. Like you could be appearing like on Facebook ads going, hey, everybody, it's Nathan Adrian. As you know, I know the game. Here's my halftime prop bet. Take West Virginia -6 through the second half.
For more tips, call 800.
Call 1-800-NATE-I-PLAYED. That's 1-800-NATE-I-PLAYED.
It's like the fifth job you signed me up for.
Well, we're trying to get you to bite on something here. You haven't taken anything yet.
Let's see. You said no to basketball official, which
we're not done pushing that one. That's got to
come back. I strongly advocate that.
Yeah,
you could be a very good basketball official. And I'm telling you what, those guys make change, and you could also be a tout. So I think that you could be a gambling tout. But you'd have to start wearing your hair slick back. Oh, okay. That's fine. And we cannot close because all podcasts, they have to have commercials, right? And we still haven't had a commercial. This is like our, like, I don't know,
19th show without a commercial.
Time now for a word from our sponsor. Folks, do you have a child that needs a children's book? It's never too late to get Where Can We Go? Traveling West Virginia, High and Low. Written by author Tony Caridi. It's a fabulous visit around the state of West Virginia. For more information, visit TonyCaridi.com. And we thank you so much that you continue to patronize our sponsors.
You still have some of those? You got rid of all those. You moved
still
a lot of them.
Still available.
Okay.
Still available.
Okay.
Do you have a copy yet, Nate?
I don't have a copy.
I'll sign one for you.
All right.
I'll sign one for you. You got little nephews and stuff like that.
I do.
Yeah, we can get you. Brady not have that book?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I would. I think
Braylon has it.
Yeah, I think Braylon has it. Okay, that'll do it. So 2 weeks from now, and again, as we move toward the this off portion of the season, as far as games go, we are going to schedule some Mountaineers to chat with to get an update as to what they're going, what's going on with them. We'll jump around that and we'll do that. If you like the show, by all means, please give us a rating. We're now available on iHeart, iTunes, Google Play. We got to get on that Stitcher. We got to do that Stitcher too.
Okay, we'll have to talk to the distribution channel.
We'll have to talk to our distribution division. That's what we'll do. So with that being said, it's time for the music, which means we're out. Thanks. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Hope you enjoyed. For Nathan, the Senator, three guys before the game, we are out. Thanks for being with us. See y'all.
You can't depend on politicians.